Jesus, what a friend for sinners, Jesus, lover of my soul. Friends,
welcome to the Unknown Bible, the broadcast ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. Join us now for today's Bible study with our pastor, Bevins Welder.
Psalm 34:8 says, O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. You know, we've often said that eternal life begins the moment you receive Jesus Christ. You don't have to wait to die before you can enjoy your everlasting life. Jesus Christ said, I have come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. That's John 10:10. Listen, he didn't say, I have come that they might have life after they die and begin to enjoy it after they die. He said, what I'm going to give you is life. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. So you got life, right? God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have, right now, everlasting life. You've got that if you've got Jesus Christ. He said, I'm come that they might have life. Okay. You get saved, you got life. Watch it. And they, that they might have it more abundantly. He said, what I'm giving you when you have my life has to be better than what you have without me. And sometimes when people get saved, they don't think about or realize that we have something of the Lord right now that should far and away exceed whatever we could have in the world without him. So from the moment of your salvation, you should begin to live. How? Well, by the faith of the Son of God. In Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, Paul said, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life that I now live by, you know, the life that I live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Wow. So he says, Christ liveth in me. I live by the faith of the Son of God. You mean to tell me when Jesus Christ said that they might have it more abundantly and Christ is living in you that somehow or another that's sag, bag, and drag? I don't think so. I think it's better than what you could have had without the Lord Jesus Christ. Christ liveth in me. You should desire the sincere milk of the Word. He said, taste and see, right? Taste and see. Well, you see by living your life by the faith of the Son of God, you see that it's more abundant. You taste the goodness of God when you desire the sincere milk of the Word. People get saved and they don't read their Bibles. We get these letters from missionaries all the time. You know, so-and-so got saved. Please pray for their spiritual growth. And I pray, and one of the things I pray is that the person who got saved realizes that his spiritual growth or her spiritual growth depends absolutely on them dining and feasting on the words of God by reading and by attending to the preaching and teaching of the Word of God so that they can grow. Desire the sincere milk of the Word that you may grow thereby. I've seen people who have been saved for 20 years, and I'll ask them something like, have you ever read through your Bible cover to cover one time? Nah, I've read a few passages here and there, but I've never read it all the way through. Well, no wonder you don't have much joy in your Christian life. I mean, I have watched our babies, and now we have a grandchild. I've watched them thoroughly enjoy the milk, you know, that they receive in their early days of nourishment. Sometimes, you know, I'll have to give them a bottle or whatever, and they just, you know, they're cry, wah, 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 and you give it to them, and they're just, so content with that. You don't know how that, you don't have some sense of that from tasting the milk of the Word of God? Well, then it's no wonder you look at your Christian life as something that's not comparable to what Jesus Christ said when he said that you might have it more abundantly. You should drink of the water of life. In John chapter 4, when Jesus Christ met the woman at the well, he said, you know what, I'm thirsty. Draw me out some water. So she says, Elijah, you're a Jew. Jews don't have any dealings with Samaritans. And he said, if thou knewest the gift of God and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him and he would have given thee living water. Living water. You ever taste any of that? In John chapter 7, Jesus Christ is explaining what happens when we get saved. He said, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. John 7:37. He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive, for the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified. Have you ever found any satisfaction in the filling of the Spirit of God? We talk about drinking, you know, water because you're thirsty, and eating food because you're hungry, and then a person drinks to his fill and eats and says, I am so full. Have you ever been filled with the Spirit of God? How would you have any idea what the abundant life in Christ is like if you've never been filled with the Spirit? How can you say, I've tasted and seen? You haven't. You should enjoy the bread of life, fellowship of the Lord Jesus Christ. In John chapter 6, verse 35, Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. Have you ever been so satisfied in your relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, the bread of life, that you weren't hungry and you weren't thirsty? Have you ever fasted until you could taste and see the goodness of God? You should taste and see that the Lord is good. That's what the psalmist said. That's what David said in Psalm 34, verse 8. He said, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. He's the bread of life. Literally, have you ever fasted to the point where you weren't hungry and you weren't thirsty, but it was okay because your fellowship with Jesus Christ was so satisfying that you'd rather just have that than food? Have you ever desired the sincere milk of the Word? Have you ever drunk of the water of life and been filled with the Spirit of God? Have you ever walked in the faith of the Son of God so that you knew that it was Christ living in you? He said, taste and see. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Now, people must taste and see. And I'm thinking right now of three categories of people that really need to taste and see that the Lord is good. I'd say, first of all, young Christians. Young Christians. Turn to 2 Timothy chapter 3 and look at verse 15. Young Christians. In 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 15, Paul is writing to Timothy and he compliments him in the first part of this letter, in chapter 1, on his unfeigned faith. But he says in 2 Timothy 3:15, that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures. There's somebody that tasted and saw. That thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. And this isn't just somebody that says, I was 6 years old when I prayed to receive Jesus Christ as my Savior. Man, I tell you what, almost get tired of hearing that. I'm glad to know that people are saved, but you say, are you born again? Yeah, I did that. You know what they're saying when they say, yeah, I did that? They're saying, yeah, when I was 14, I went to a youth camp. I went down front. I received Jesus Christ, and since then I have left him at that same altar where I received him. I've gone on with my life, and I'll see him again when I die. I did that. That very phrase, I did that, or I've already prayed that prayer, tells me you haven't grown a whit. You haven't tasted and seen anything. All you did was believed and leave it right there. Timothy knew God. Thou hast known the Holy Scriptures. Timothy knew God from his childhood. God was real to him. Timothy had personal experience with the abundance of life in Jesus. He had an unfeigned faith. When Paul saw him in Acts chapter 16, he picked up with him right away and took him with him. This is a young man who knew God and knew the Scriptures. You know what? People who get sidetracked by the world, you know, become worldly like Demas. People who get sidetracked by the world often have a basic problem, and it's the same problem from one person to the next. Listen, they've never known the goodness of God by tasting and seeing for themselves. Do you know the goodness of God by tasting and seeing for yourself? I remember when I was in college and I was going to a Baptist church in Houston, and I was just thinking about that this morning, and I would go to that church, and I would, you know what I'd do? I enjoyed the fellowship, and I enjoyed the singing, and I enjoyed being with the people. But I wasn't tasting and seeing that God was good. I was tasting and seeing that church was good. I was tasting and seeing that the choir singing was good. And so by Wednesday, this thing was beginning to peter out. By next Sunday, I desperately needed to be back in church. And by the time that I was an adult and I was working, I began to find in the world some pleasures. And I thought, man, these are better than what I had. And so I got backslidden. We're going to talk about that. You know what? A young Christian needs to know the goodness of God by tasting and seeing for himself. Now, you may not be young. You may have children who are young. Well, let me tell you something. It's not enough that they have gone to church with you and have not said anything bad about doing that again. And it's not bad they come back and tell you that they had fun making a craft while they were in Sunday school. Listen, they need to know the goodness of God. Help them to taste and see. You see, what's happened with young Christians is they've not sought satisfaction and contentment, listen, in Jesus Christ. They've not enjoyed the abundance of their eternal life. They enjoy the temporal pleasures of church, but not the abundance of their eternal life. And so then when their flesh lusts for something and they feel that pleasure, they suddenly walk away from their faith because it never amounted to much for them in the first place. You know, when we watch young people that get into their later teenage years and all of a sudden they take up with a girl or they take up with a guy, and they have that infatuation, the pleasure of that infatuation is a greater allurement, it is a greater feeling than any pleasure they've ever experienced in their eternal life. They sense that pull of their flesh, they sense that pull of having somebody else attracted to them, and I mean their heads spin completely out of seeking contentment and pleasure and satisfaction from the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's because they've never tasted, they've never seen his goodness. Now our children who have strayed have no idea why we are so happy with Jesus. That's right. Right now, there are things that I enjoy doing. I look back on where I am now and where my life was 10 years ago, and there are things that I enjoy doing and that I'm not doing right now. You say, why not? Because they take place at a time of day when I'm spending time with the Lord, and I'm not trying to, listen, please understand something. I am not trying to sound super spiritual here. I am as sincere with you as I possibly can be. The Lord has allowed me to taste and see joy and abundance of life in fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ, and I don't want to give that up for a temporal pleasure that I used to enjoy. By comparison, those things that I really do like to do, they don't hold a candle to what I can enjoy in that time with the Lord. Now, from time to time, it's not like I'm becoming an old fuddy-duddy by any stretch of the imagination. From time to time, there are things that I do that I enjoy, that we take the pleasure in down here. God made these things for us to enjoy. They made these things for his pleasure. But I'm telling you, they do not compare with our time of fellowship with the Lord. Just don't. And young Christians need to learn at a young age, it's not just about obedience, and just about, although that's very, very important, and it's not just about, you know, being in church. It is about getting to know God. I remember a young lady who was in college years ago. She didn't stray, and I asked her one day, how come you've not strayed like so many other students when they get to college? And she says, it's very easy. She said, I still have the support of my family, I have the support of my church. In other words, she lived at home and went to school from her home, and we've certainly recommended that to our folks in church. Don't go away and spend the money on room and board and then lose your child to the professors who don't believe in God, okay? So she had the support of my church, had the support of my family, but listen, this is the key. She said, and God was real to me on campus. You know what? She'd seen him, I mean, with eyes of faith, and tasted of his sincere milk, of his water of life, of his bread of life. And she said, God is real to me on campus. You know something? I've never heard another student confess that. And you know why they haven't confessed that? Mostly because they don't know what she knew about God. So young Christians must taste and see that God is good, the goodness of God, and you need to help them. You need to help them see that. Don't just be satisfied that they behave in and are making good marks. Help them to know God. Eunice and Lois, Timothy's mother and grandmother, helped him. And he gained an unfeigned faith. He was strong in the Lord, and he didn't have to fake it. He knew who God was. All right, people who must taste and see the goodness of God, that the Lord is good, not only young Christians, but backslidden Christians. Look at Proverbs chapter 14. Proverbs chapter 14. We could sit here and argue about doctrinal things concerning backsliding. Just bear with me. You understand there are some Christians who are Christians that are not as close to the Lord as others, okay? So we're going to call them backslidden. Proverbs 14:14, the backslider in heart shall be filled with his own ways, and a good man shall be satisfied from himself. You know what happens to a backslider in heart? He gets filled with his own ways. Backslidden Christians start to feel the misery of their condition after a while. Kind of like the prodigal son did. He got hungry. He wasn't getting any satisfaction. Nobody was helping him. He said, man, I'll eat what the pigs are eating. And that's what happens when you get backslidden. A backslider in heart shall be filled with his own ways. And you know what a backslider needs to see? He needs to see that Christians enjoy fellowship with Jesus Christ. He needs to see that Christians are satisfied. A good man should be satisfied from himself. It's within us. Now, there are Christians today, you know, that wear a frown on their face. And I agree with Sam Jones, the old preacher. He said the devil can do more damage for the cause of Christ by putting a frown on a Christian's face than he can by putting a case of whiskey on the steeple. And I agree with that. There are some mopey, downtrodden, sad-looking Christians. And you could see a person who's backslidden, has been down at the bar and got down to the movie and living it up with his friends, and he looks over there at that poot-faced person who says he loves Jesus, and they're like, wow, man, I really need that in my life. You know what they need to see? They need to see a Christian who's satisfied with Jesus Christ. Aren't you satisfied with the Lord? Don't you enjoy your fellowship with Jesus Christ? If you've got a merry heart, you know what happens? You get a cheerful countenance. The Bible says in Proverbs 15:13, a merry heart maketh a cheerful countenance. Why is your countenance why is it not cheerful? I lived as a backslidden Christian for a while, too long. And I can tell you from both sides of this experience, the side of being backslidden and the side of being satisfied, that the satisfaction in fellowship with Jesus Christ incomparably exceeds the best that the world has to offer. That's right. Let me just give you a few verses right out of Psalms here and show you some of this great satisfaction that we have in the Lord. Psalm 22, look at verse 26. The meek shall eat and be satisfied. They shall praise the Lord that seek him. Your heart shall live forever. I'm telling you, that's right. Psalm 36, look at verse 8. They shall be abundantly satisfied with the fatness of thy house, and thou shalt make them drink of the river of thy pleasures. Let me tell you something. I realize there are some doctrinal applications here to Israel and some things that go on concerning the millennial reign of the Lord Jesus Christ, but I will testify I can make a spiritual application of that abundant satisfaction in the fatness of God's house and the drinking of the river of God's pleasures. There are pleasures at the right hand of the Lord God Almighty, unlike, I'm telling you, unlike anything the world has to offer. Why? The world comes from the devil. It's all temporal. This other stuff comes from the Lord, and it lasts forever, and we get to enjoy it now. Psalm 63, look at verse 5. My soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise thee with joyful lips. Incomparable. The world can't do that. It doesn't have the capacity for that kind of joy and that kind of praise and that kind of satisfaction. Psalm 103, verse 5. Speaking of the Lord, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things. Taste and see that the Lord is good, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. Psalm 107, verse 9. I'll just give you one more. There are more. Psalm 107, verse 9. Oh, for he satisfieth the longing soul and filleth the hungry soul with goodness. That's the Lord. That's the satisfaction of having abundance of our eternal and everlasting life in Jesus Christ. And if you've never experienced that, you got backslidden because you never tasted and saw that the Lord is good, then that's what you need. Backslidden Christians need to taste and see that the Lord is good, because the flavor of that is so much better than what you try to find in the world. You know what Proverbs 27:20 says? Hell and destruction are never full. Watch it. So the eyes of man are never satisfied. You're never going to find satisfaction looking for it where you've been looking for it that led you to get backslidden. You're not. Pleasure for a season, yes, but never satisfaction. Never, 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 never. The eyes of man are never satisfied. Okay? But boy, there's satisfaction in the pleasures of the Lord. I have come that I might have life, and they might have it more abundantly. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Who needs that, young Christians? They need to know God is real. Backslidden Christians. And I'll tell you, somebody else who does too is lost people. Lost people. Psalm 34, verse 8, our text, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good, goes on to say what? Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. You haven't trusted in him. You're lost. And so you're sitting here listening to me talk, and you say, oh, that's just a bunch of bunk. I read Richard Dawkins, and he says what you're doing is a delusion. Hey, buddy, you have to try this for yourself. Don't debate about this, taking Richard Dawkins or some other atheist side to the thing and go in here and look for what you think are errors in the Bible. You're so stupid, you're relying upon your own lack of understanding in a book to be able to debate with somebody who spends his entire life reading and preaching this book, and you think you're going to find something in here to make somebody like me believe that this book was written by a man and not by God himself, who used men to pen the words? You're out of your mind. You're off your rocker. You can't debate that cause with me. You have no idea what you're talking about. You only know what you've read in a book and regurgitated that somebody else said, because you've never tasted and you've never seen the goodness of God. I'm going to tell you something. Until you have tasted and seen the goodness of the Lord for yourself, you can only conjecture. You can only repeat the bitterness of those who hate God. That's right. You need to taste and see that the Lord is good. I'll tell you this, and I mean it, boy, I just guarantee, when you have what we have, then you will understand why we are so content with Jesus and so discontented with the world. They have a saying in the world for you: don't knock it till you try it. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. You say, I'm not going to trust in Jesus Christ. Then you just go on and keep seeking all of your pleasure. And when you come to the end of your life and you miss the abundance of eternal life in Jesus Christ and you wind up in hell, you remember this day. You remember there was a preacher that told you you ought to try this. You ought to take him at his word. You ought to see for yourself that this is true. And while you're down there in hell and you are crying out for just one drop of water like the rich man did in Luke chapter 16 to cool the torment of your tongue, you'll remember You'll remember Psalm 34, verse 8, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him, and it'll be too late for you. You'll be in agony. You say, you're just trying to scare me with, I'm not trying to scare you with hell. I'm trying to tell you the consequence of the decision you're trying to make. You're trying to make a decision without having trusted the Lord to tell me that that this is a figment of my imagination. You are out of your mind. You really are. You're not in your right mind. You have to taste and see that the Lord is good, and I'm going to tell you beyond the shadow of a doubt, if you come to the Lord Jesus Christ to have His life, and you desire the sincere milk of the Word, and you live by the faith of the Son of God, and drink the water of life, and enjoy the bread of life, and taste and see that the Lord is good, you will agree with me, and you will be just as adamant telling others that don't know Jesus Christ as I am right now. I heard a man preaching on a street one time, and I was with a friend of mine, and I said, listen to that fool. Until I found out why he was on the street saying what he was saying. And as soon as I tasted what he had tasted and I had seen what he had seen, I was on the street corner doing the same thing that he was doing. Now I understand it's called the foolishness of preaching. So don't sit there in your car, sit there at your desk, or sit there in your rocking chair and say, oh, he's just off his rocker. You don't know what you are talking about. Because you've never had this for yourself. And you won't know what you're talking about until you do. Oh, taste and see. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. That's what the Bible says. You going to do that? Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. Are you going to do that? You should try that. I highly recommend that to you. I highly recommend Jesus Christ to you. I highly recommend the words of God to you. I highly recommend the Holy Spirit to you. I highly recommend God the Father to you. You say, why? Because I have seen people who sought the pleasures of this world. I sought the pleasures of this world, and they gave up the pleasures of this world for what they have in the Lord God, and they are thanking God for salvation and the abundant life that's in Jesus Christ, because there is no comparison between what we have now and what we had then, and we ain't going back either. I'm telling you from the bottom of my heart and from the Word of God, taste and see that the Lord is good. And may God bless you when you do. Amen.
You have been listening to The Unknown Bible, the radio ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. For information about our church, go to our church website at www.my3bc.com. That's my3bc.com. If you would like to contact us by telephone, our number is 361-241-6100. Bible Believers Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 1701 Ranmorgan Road. If you are not currently a member of a Bible-believing church and you are looking for a church with an uncompromising stand on the words of God, come visit with us this Sunday or Wednesday. We would love to see you.
Hallelujah.